Hey, folks, want to talk a little bit about our sponsor for the coaching staff, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, all American used cars and trucks. Had to bring my car in just last week, and Juan Carlos and everybody there took great care of me. They've got some great deals for you folks here, and you're going to want to listen carefully to this. If you're in the Omaha area and you need an oil change, you need to go to Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, 4839 North 90th Street here in Omaha. If you go there on Wednesday, it's only $15 for the labor on your oil change. You need to mention a pen and a napkin, but it's only $15 on Wednesdays for the labor for your oil changes. If you need a new set of tires, go to Ruiz Auto, and it is, if you get a set of four tires, they'll take $75 off if you mention a pen and a napkin. And finally, All American Used Cars and Trucks, 144th and I-80 there. If you say a pen and a napkin 2025, if you mention a pen and a napkin 2025, it is $300 off of any used car or truck out at All American Used Cars and Trucks. So if you are in the need of an oil change, if you are in need of a new set of tires, if you are in the need of a nice new to you automobile, you need to go check out Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust. Again, 4839 North 90th Street here in Omaha, or All American Used Cars and Trucks, 144th and I-80 here in Omaha. Good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, the weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Hey, trying something new here this week. So here's what's going on. This is, of course, sponsored, as you heard, by Ruiz Auto and All American Used Cars and Trucks. I want to give Juan Carlos and everybody a shout out there. Usually I've got Tony on with me, but Tony is really busy with tennis right now, and we had some things going on, and it just had some scheduling conflicts. But I had some things I wanted to throw out there, and I thought, what the heck? I've got a little bit of time here on Sunday afternoon. So I've got six things that I want to talk about here today. Some of them have to deal with a pen and a napkin. Some of them have to deal with broader basketball things. So we're going to start with number one here. And the biggest thing, I've been kind of teasing this for a while, just kind of been working on this and working on it. But now I feel like I'm comfortable enough to announce that I have completed my second book. And I am really, really excited about this. Now, if you want to read the first one, you haven't gotten it yet. Well, you can still go to Amazon, type in Kings of Their Court, and you should be able to find that under Marty Plum, which obviously that was a great passion project, as this one was. And this book is all about basketball and basketball in its purest form. It is called The Last of the Cowboys, The Story of Snow Valley Basketball School. And it is all about the oldest continuous basketball camp in America. We take basketball camps for granted. We got basketball camps coming out of our ears these days. Everybody's got a basketball camp that they're doing or trying to get off the ground, myself included, you know. But originally, you know, basketball camps didn't start until after World War II. Too. And a lot of these camps were not really even basketball camps. They were old school summer camps that you'd have a week that would focus on this and that, and you'd have a week about basketball. And, so as late as the 1950s, there was only about three or four basketball camps where you could go and work exclusively on basketball. And one of those was up in New England, ran by the great Bob Cousy. And it was part of a bigger summer camp. And there was a gentleman that worked under Bob Cousy by the name of Herb Livesey. And Herb worked really, really hard for Coach Cousy or Mr. Cousy at the time. He ended up moving out to California. And as fate would have it, he ended up creating or buying a basketball camp that became known as Snow Valley. And get this, it started out in the parking lot of a ski resort in the middle of the summer outside of Los Angeles, California, called Snow Valley. And so that's where the name comes from. Coach Livesey started this back in 1961. And other than 2020, when everybody was under quarantine, Snow Valley has occurred every single summer. This was the place, if you were a coach, especially in the as the popularity of the camp grew, the 60s, especially into the 70s and the 80s, if you were going to be a coach of any way, shape, or form, you needed to work Snow Valley out in California. We're talking about Don Meyer. We're talking about Lute Olson. We're talking about John Wooden. We are talking about Pete Carril, Jerry Tarkanian, Larry Brown, Greg Popovich, Mike Budenholzer. The list goes on and on and on. You would not believe it. Coach Livesey ran this. It was, you know, just extremely popular. It was at Snow Valley for about 8 or 9 years. He moved it to Santa Barbara and Westmont College. And then two Iowa guys, Don Showalter, who you've heard on the podcast before, and Jerry Slykus, took it and they brought it to Iowa in 1994. And this year will mark the 30th anniversary of Snow Valley in Iowa. And so that is part of the reason why the book was written. It's kind of a happy accident how the book came about. This was actually supposed to be a podcast. I was going to make it into a narrative podcast. I was fascinated. As if you're listening, you probably know that I've worked Snow Valley the last few years. Tony, my co-host for the coaching staff, he tried to convince me for years and years and years to come out and work it, and it just never lined up, whatever it may be. And now, I really regret not working it earlier in my career. So, started working it and came up with this idea of telling the story of Snow Valley Basketball School via podcast. But I had all sorts of technical troubles trying to put this thing together, about went cross-eyed trying to figure out how to do this and just never could figure out how to do it. I was also in the middle of finishing Kings of Their Court. So I was working on the two projects at the same time, decided to set aside Snow Valley to see Kings of Their Court through. And then after I got done with Kings of Their Court, it was time to re-enter the Snow Valley world. And so I started taking all of the recordings that I had for the podcast and taking notes on them and filling in the blanks in the same way. And what we came up with is this book, The Last of the Cowboys. And I'm not going to tell you what The Last of the Cowboys means. You're going to have to read the book to know what that saying is. If you are a Snow Valley person, you know what it means. But it tells the story of everything, going all the way back to the 1940s and 50s and Coach Livesey's childhood around New York City, all the way to today. And Coach Showalter and everybody associated with Snow Valley, Iowa, is getting ready to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Snow Valley in Iowa. So that's what's going to be coming up here. It's going to be available to the public on July the 1st, right in the middle of summer camp season. It's going to be $17.99. You'll be able to order it from Amazon.com. Paperback orders won't be available to order until July the 1st. But if you want to pre-order on Kindle, it'll be $9.99 and it'll be right in your inbox there. So it's a terrific basketball story. Snow Valley is a unique place. It goes through all the things that is Snow Valley, that what makes it such a unique place for a basketball coach to go to and kind of, you know, be reborn, if you will. It reminds you as to why you are a basketball coach. There's no selfish interests. you're coaching other players that are not your own, and you're just there to teach the game to the best of your ability. And it is a great story. It is an oasis in the middle of a desert of modern basketball, without a doubt. So it was a great experience putting this together. Got to talk to a bunch of people. You know, Coach Livesey and I have spent more than a few hours on the phone together, talking about the story of the camp and exchanging things. Coach Showalter, of course, everybody involved with Snow Valley, Iowa. And I know I'm going to forget people, and I apologize if I do, but Chris Kern, Dave Schlabaugh, Ken Spielbauer, Dick Peth, you know, the Schlabaugh family, the Kern family, Jason Kern, Dave Severins, many others, guys from Snow Valley, California, Cleet Adelman, Bill Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, so many people were great contributors to this project. We talked to current coaches that have worked the camp, especially in Iowa today. We dove into the history of everything. We talked about the structure of the camp. There's just so many different things, and I hope by you reading this book, it will kind of give you a spark in yourself here to, you know, remember why you are a basketball coach and what you're doing. I want to thank my wife for being patient with this. I want to thank my editor, Valerie. She pushed, you know, I take spaghetti and throw it up against the wall, and she cleans it up, and she makes me uncomfortable, and she challenges me, and we fight a little bit every once in a while, but I cannot thank her enough for the work that she has done with these projects. She's just done a great job, and I appreciate that. I think you're really going to enjoy this book. If you're a basketball nerd, if you're a basketball junkie, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a basketball nerd, basketball junkie. You need to buy yourself a copy of The Last of the Cowboys, The Story of Snow Valley Basketball School. Youth sports today has become a billion-dollar industry nationwide, and grassroots basketball has been at the epicenter of this explosion. These days, players, parents, and handlers chase the almighty scholarship, NIL deals, and branding creation. However, there is still one place where basketball coaches and players come to develop their games without the fanfare and adulation of recruiting gurus, next-level evaluations, and social media highlight reels. It's not a basketball camp, it's a basketball school. Snow Valley Basketball School started as the brainchild of Herb Livesey, who, as a young adult, was inspired by the great Bob Cousy to start his own basketball camp. Starting in 1961 at Snow Valley Ski Resort, east of Los Angeles, before moving to Westmont College in Santa Barbara, Livesey's school was a place for the game's greatest coaches to teach the game throughout the 1970s and 80s. Two Iowans, Don Showalter and Jerry Slykus, adopted Livesey's curriculum, bringing the school to Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa in 1994. This summer will be a celebration of its 30th anniversary of Snow Valley in the Hawkeye State. Here, over 1,400 campers will start each day before dawn and end after the sun goes down. Snow Valley Basketball School is America's longest continuously running basketball camp. It's where players come to learn and coaches come to teach. For those that come there every summer, it is the home to The Last of the Cowboys. The Last of the Cowboys, The Story of Snow Valley Basketball School, will be available on Amazon on July 1st, 2025. Paperback copies will be available for $17.99, while Kindle copies will be available for pre-order for $9.99. Get to know the story of America's longest continuous basketball camp.
How about that?
So I'm going to do a little TWIB segment myself here, again, without Tony. And Tony will be back. We are going to be back next week. It's just kind of a weird, crazy thing. I want to make sure that the folks that really enjoy hearing us on a weekly basis know that, yes, we will be back next week, without a doubt. But want to talk about four things that, that has happened in the game of basketball, or that will be happening in the game of basketball, I just wanted to take a couple minutes to talk about each one. Number one here, the Florida-Houston men's championship game. Tony and I talked about the women's game and the dominance of Connecticut over South Carolina. It was a classic close game. The final four was absolutely terrific. You know, it was pretty obvious those were the four best teams, and only one of them was going to come out on top. You could probably replay that four different times, and you might have four different national champions. I know there's been a lot said about a lot of different things. I think that there was a sentiment, a hope that Kelvin Sampson would win a national championship after such a long career and everything that he has given to the game, the way that they found a way to come back against Duke. But, you know, we know what the end of the game was. I think what we forget along the way is that, you know, we remember the final play. The kid goes up for the shot. He, you know, great closeout. I think it was by Clayton, and he forces him to put the ball on the floor, and the clock runs out as the ball is turns into a scramble. You know, Florida went out and won that game. I really believe that. I don't think Houston necessarily lost it. I think Florida went out and won it. I really look back on the game and, you know, here's a lesson that we all can learn. It felt like Houston really, really dominated the first half of the game and maybe the first 25 or 30 minutes of the game. It just felt like Houston was in control. But every time you looked at the scoreboard, Florida was only down 8. They were only down 7. They were only down 9. And two really, really important things when it comes to that from a coaching perspective. You know, Clayton didn't score until, I don't know, the last 10 minutes again. He didn't get a basket until there was 8 or 9 minutes left in the game. And there was a stretch where Houston was up about 10 or 12 late in the first half, and Florida made a closing run to get it down to whatever. I think it was like 3 at halftime. I'm going by memory here because it's been a few days since the game has been played. I think the greatest thing that coaches, when you look at those situations, you've got to just, you know, proverbially, that's good English there, proverbially step on your opponent's throat when you have the opportunity. You've got to knock them out. When they were up 12, they needed to get up 17 or 18. And it wasn't like Houston wasn't trying. Florida's really, really good, and they were preventing them from doing that. But, you know, Clayton wasn't scoring, and yet, you know, Florida just kept hanging around and hanging around and hanging around. And they got it down to, I think, 3 at halftime, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in that range after being down double digits. And, you know, you just got to knock them out. And I think if, you know, everybody's going to focus on that last play or the last couple of possessions, which is really important. I'm not saying that it isn't, but when you get a chance to knock somebody out, you got to knock them out. And I think, you know, if you ask Coach Sampson now, a week removed, I think if he's decided to watch the film, which I can see him not, I think that might be one thing that he's saying. So congratulations to Florida. You know, It was a heck of a game. It was a heck of a tournament. That's number one. Number two, WNBA draft coming up here. By the time you listen to this, it'll be tonight. Obviously, Paige Beckers is going to go first to Dallas. She proved in the NCAA tournament that she is without a doubt the best player in the country, capstoning a great career. I think in some ways, before the Caitlin Clark phenomenon came along, that, you know, Paige Beckers was, you know, by some people considered to be better than Caitlin Clark coming out of high school. And that's no knock against Caitlin or knock against anything that Paige has done. I think we just kind of forgot that. You know, she's got a chance. You know, the rivalry, we've got so many great rivalries brewing in the WNBA here. I was actually having this conversation yesterday at the clinic, or after the clinic. You know, what's going to happen to the women's game here over the next few years? You know, the college game has really ruled the roost for a long time, and it probably still does. The women's college game is probably still more popular than the WNBA game. However, as you see, Stewart, Kelsey Plum, and others, and then you have this new generation of Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, in a couple of years, Juju Watkins. what's going to happen? Where's the league going to be at in 5 to 7 years? You can kind of make a bit of a correlation between what happened in the NBA and what is happening in the WNBA right now. The NBA, lest we forget, really struggled for 25 to 30 years. And then at the same time, we had Magic Johnson and Larry Bird come into the league, followed very quickly by Isaiah Thomas, and then this Jordan guy and a couple of others. You could kind of say the same thing about the WNBA. You have these foundational pieces of Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoops and Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner, and they've helped build the league to a certain point. But then, you know, could this be a comparable situation to where Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins, they take it to a completely different level over the next 5 to 7 years? That, you know, that remains to be seen. So we got the draft here on Monday night. Beckers will go first. I kind of see Dominique Malanga of France going second to Seattle. Washington, crazy. They've got 3, 4, and 6 in this draft. So I think in some way, shape, or form, they're going to get Kiki Arafian from USC, Sonia Citron from Notre Dame, and then the Rivers gal from North Carolina State. I think at the 5th spot, I think Golden State's going to take Anisha Morrow from LSU. That's my prediction there. And then it'll be interesting. We've got 3 point guards that have got a kind of a similar skill set in Papayo from South Carolina, Haley Van Lith of TCU, and Georgia Amon from Kentucky. She was at Virginia Tech. It'll be interesting to see where those 3 kind of fall after that next level. So let's see how the WNBA draft goes here. So third thing, Mike Malone, the crazy firing. I put something out on Twitter. Normally, I don't like jump into that realm of things. This was stupid. This was really, really stupid. And when I say stupid, what I mean by stupid is that this is what happens when egos get in the way. It's supposed to be about the good of the Denver Nuggets and not about what is good for me. And you've got to figure it out. You've got to come to some sort of compromise. And it sounds like, and I've said this before, and probably I don't want to sound like I'm being hypocritical or anything like that, because I get it. My greatest strength oftentimes is I can be really, really stubborn, but I also know that it can be my greatest weakness. And I think this whole thing with Malone and with Calvin Booth, I think there's so many things for all of us to learn from it as we watch it happen from afar. First of all, egos. Everybody wants to take credit when everything is going well. And Michael Malone deserves a ton of credit for winning an NBA championship. And Calvin Booth deserves a ton of credit for making moves on the edges to give the Nuggets that championship, signing KCP, drafting Christian Braun, et cetera, et cetera. But if you are not in line with one another, if you are not in alignment with those people, and for us as high school coaches, it's your staff, but then it's also your administration. Do you need to see your things go in the same direction? Do you have and you're never going to be perfectly aligned, but are you really close to alignment? There's going to be a couple of disagreements here and there, and that's why we're all different. That's why we're human beings. But you've got to be in alignment with everyone. I think for Michael Malone, he's a fiery guy. He gets after people. He is a truth teller. But sometimes you can be a truth teller to a fault. Sometimes, and I think this is where you give a guy like Steve Kerr a lot of credit. Steve Kerr knows when to fight the battles that he can win. And I think Michael Malone, because he's just the way he is and the way he's wired, and again, our greatest strengths are often our greatest weaknesses. You've got to figure out which battles you can win. You can win any battle that you want, but you can't win every battle. And I think to a degree, as Malone's frustration, and I get it. I understand where he's coming from. You lose KCP for nothing. You don't get anything back. You lose, Bruce Brown for essentially nothing. Yeah, that would be frustrating. And then you're being asked to play players that you are not fans of. I understand that. But when you feel like you have to win every single battle, and again, I've never been in an NBA locker room. I've never coached an NBA team. I have no idea what the ups and downs of an 82-game schedule are, but I have coached long enough to know that sometimes you just have to step away from a team and say, hey, you know what? We weren't very good today. We've got to come back better tomorrow. And everything that you've read coming out of this, and this is what happens a lot in these situations where reporters empty the notebooks and they let everything out. It sounds like, you know, Mike Malone had, his voice had kind of ran its course. The message can get old sometimes, and that's why you need to be smart with how you bring your message on a daily basis. I always felt like the less I talked, the better off we were going to be, even as head coach. There's a lot of people in this world that talk a lot and say nothing. And then sometimes that's the way your players perceive your voice. Here we go again. Coach is getting on us about this and this and this. Sometimes you gotta figure out which battles you're going to win, and you got to be willing to lose some battles to win the war. I think that's really, really smart. It's the art of coaching. It is the art of coaching. And if it were easy, everybody would do it. So I'm a closet Denver Nuggets fan. I think Jokic is absolutely amazing. I hope they're not squandering the prime of one of the most amazing players we've seen in the 21st century. Hopefully they're able to figure things out here, and we'll see where it goes. Last here in our TWIB segment, we got the play-in games this week. For the NBA, I'm taping this Sunday afternoon around 12:30. So everything is not finalized. I'm just going to put my prediction out there. I don't think anything is really major is going to happen in this. I don't see whoever comes out of the play-in in the East. At best, they may win a game against either Cleveland or Boston, but I think those series are going to be short and sweet and to the point. In the West, a little bit more interesting, really dangerous team in Minnesota that right now, as of this taping, they are in the seventh spot and they are lined up with Houston. I think that could get really, really interesting. Minnesota is playing much, much better than they were earlier in the season. Who knows, by the end of the day today, Denver might fall from 4 to 7 and might be slotted in that spot. I don't see anybody in that 8, 9, or 10 spot there in the West. Whoever ends up 8th is going to be, again, kind of what we see in the East. It's going to be short and sweet against Oklahoma City, I would very much imagine. Again, maybe getting one game, but that's about it. But we'll see who lines up against Houston in that 7th spot. That will be really, really interesting because there's a lot of veteran teams that could be in that spot, from the Clippers to the Nuggets to the Warriors to the Timberwolves. And you have this young Rockets team. Are they ready for this situation? We really don't know. So that's what I've got here. That was four quick things in the TWIB segment that I wanted to talk about, four subjects I wanted to talk on. And wanted to put that out there. Folks, we had a great day on April the 12th at the 5th annual A Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. And if you couldn't be there, that stinks. But what's fortunate for you is we taped everything that we did. So if you are interested in ordering any of our clinic videos or all of our clinic videos from our great presenters on April the 12th, it's there for you. All you have to do is DM me on Twitter at @apenandanapkin, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. We've got Andy King talking about 5-on-5 transition and controlled scrimmages. Jody Steyer from Iowa State University on player development. We've got Lucas Dollinghouse on coaching through an administrator's eyes. Wade Coulter talking about pressure defense and extending your pressure defense. Raz Vanderloo with a basketball smorgasbord of stuff from Sioux City East High School, USA Basketball, and Jamie Smith from Solon High School, talking about shooting and shooting technique, shooting fundamentals. It's a great lineup, great coaches, great presentations. They're there for you. $10 a piece is all the videos cost. If you want to get all 6 of them, I'll bundle it together for you. $50 for all 6 videos. So coaches, If you weren't there, too bad. But because we're thinking ahead here, we've got the videos available for you. Give me a shout out. Let me know if you want to order any or all of the 5th annual A Pen and a Napkin Spring Clinic Coaches presentations. Last thing I wanted to talk about here today, so it ended up being like 6 things here. Last of the Cowboys, Florida-Houston game, WNBA draft, the Denver situation, and play-in games for the NBA playoffs. Last thing I want to talk about, of course, is getting better. We had our clinic yesterday. It went really, really well. We had such great presenters. We had a nice crowd. If you didn't get a chance to get there, as you just heard on the advertisement right before this, hopefully you listened to the advertisement. We do have our clinic videos up and going here. And you're going to hear this on Monday. Hopefully by Wednesday, I have everything edited and ready to go, ready to download and give out to you. So check those out. We had so many really, really good presentations and talking points. We got to break down in our groups. The thing that stinks for me is the more I do this, the busier I get during the day, and I don't get to participate like in the breakdown groups or anything like that the way that I would like to. But Andy King got us off to a great start with 5-on-5 controlled scrimmages. We did some breakout groups after that point. Jody Steyer came in from Iowa State University and did some great fundamental work with Emily Ryan, all Big 12 guard. Point guard, you know, just a great deal. And let me tell you something about that. And I said this at the clinic, you know, Emily didn't have to come over and do this. You know, you got this kid from Tennessee, that is asking for $4 million a year. Emily Ryan came over with her coach to go to a random stranger's clinic, to demonstrate some stuff for 45 minutes. And then went right back to Ames for nothing. I mean, you want to talk about the character of a young woman, that says a lot about what type of person that is. So thank you very much, Emily. That is greatly, greatly appreciated. We had Raz Vanderloo from Sioux City East and USA Basketball, just a basketball smorgasbord of different topics that Raz talked about. We had a couple of other presentations. Lucas Dollinghouse, just coming off 3 straight state championships at Johnson Brock, just recently resigned to focus on his administrative duties, but he talked about coaching through an administrator's eyes and things that you can do to help build your relationship with your administrator. Wade Coulter from Gretna East talked about building pressure defensive system. And then Jamie Smith from Solon, Iowa, girls basketball coach there, talked about shooting fundamentals and all of that stuff. So it was a terrific, terrific day. If you couldn't be there, that stinks, but hey, we got you covered here. And so you can email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. You can DM me at A Pen and a Napkin on Twitter, and let me know if you're interested. $10 a piece for each video, or if you want to buy the bundle, it's $50, and I'll get that sent to you as quickly as I possibly can. So just kind of, yeah, a six topics here of things that I wanted to talk about here today. Hope you've enjoyed this. I miss not having Tony here. You know, I'll be okay. Tony and I will be back next week to talk about whatever it is that we'll end up talking about, and just appreciate all your support. Hope you look into getting the Last of the Cowboys, and, you know, just keep, you know, as we say, let's just end it like this, coaches. As always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at